All right, I'm going to try a joke, and it's a Ravi Zacharias joke. Diane said he never tells a joke, but if you Google him, and he has a list of jokes that he tells. They're probably, yeah. And he said this guy was trying to learn a language, because we're going to be talking about words and tongues. So he's trying to learn a language, and he's getting in an argument, discussion with this guy, and he says, you know, English is so hard because words have different meanings, and it makes things so vague-y. The guy goes, wait a minute. No, it's not vague-y, it's vague. And the guy says, that's what I mean. He says, every time I open my tongue-y, it gets all tied up. And it's vague. And the guy goes, no, you don't understand. Whenever U-E is at the end of the word, it's silent. So it's vague and tongue. And the guy goes, okay, I just don't want to get into a big arg about this. Argue. Yeah. Thought it was funny. I mean, I'm... Anyway. Yeah, okay. Yeah, never mind. I thought it was funny. Okay. I'm going to do another commercial. There was we were studying John Tuesday, and it hit me. We were in John chapter 10, and as we were reading it, it just kind of jumped off the page for me. In John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. Is that it? Yes. This is when Jesus is really starting to get in trouble. He's confronting the Pharisees. He's doing miracles. He's raising people from the dead, you know, getting attention. And then in John chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. It's kind of about last week with our works ought to show that we are different. And because people said they believed, but then they wouldn't believe what he did. Or they believed what he did and they wouldn't believe who he was. So there's just kind of, I imagine, I don't know if James was around, following around when Jesus said that, but it just kind of made me think about when James talks about our works, that he had to have thought back about watching his brother grow up and the things he did. Anyway, and I'm going to have a long introduction here today, but most of us grew up with this statement, and you're going to repeat it in your head right after I start it. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Every kid that says that says it because somebody just wounded their soul, right? We know that's not true. A kid will say that because they've been wounded by somebody's words. I remember and I've said this before, my dad used to say, make sure your mind is in gear before your mouth is in motion. He would have rules like never lie to your mother. I guess it was okay to lie to my dad, but not to my mother. That was like, we grow up with these, you know, I was listening to Gary Inwick. He said his mother told him, if you lie, your tongue is going to turn black. So every time he says, right. So he had to grow up dealing with this thing that his mother lied to him about his tongue and, about lying. Tongue-y, yeah. Your tongue-y is going to turn black. Gary Inrig also brought up this story about Samuel Harris when he wrote one of his first, he's one of the big atheists, and he wrote a book, and he got a bunch of letters back. So his second book was Letters to a Christian Nation. And what he wrote in that book was the letters he received from Christians and how hateful and argumentative and horrible they were. And so as we think through this, and this passage, really, you don't really need to have a seminary degree. You don't need, all you have to do is be able to read English. These verses are not that hard. But the hardest thing about it is our tongue is hard to control. I don't care who you are. I don't care what problem, what issue, what you might struggle with in life, money, all of us, I would guess, at times, struggle with our words and what we might have said or didn't say. Let me read, and James really deals with this through the whole book. He deals with the tongue and speech in every chapter of this book. In chapter 1, verses 19, he says, now I got shadows on here. This you know, my brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's one of the first times he talks about it. Verse 26 in chapter 1, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And then in chapter 2, verse 12, he says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. And then chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, it's all about the tongue. Chapter 4, verse 11, James says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. We'll get into that next couple weeks. And then in chapter 5, verse 12, he says, above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Having my own business and the contracts you have to write, when I first got into this, I hired a lawyer. And in order to work for HKS, that you have to sign this American Institute of Architects contract. And it's about 15 pages long. And I just signed it. And the lawyer says to me, he goes, you know, you're really supposed to let me read this before you sign it. And I'm like, well, but 15 pages. And I wanted to turn, I didn't know the specific reference, but I wanted to turn to James chapter 5, verse 12. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why can't we just live by that? You know, but it takes a 15-page contract to say that. Okay, and then there's another, and this is kind of leading into it. When you think about our tongue and we're going to read some Proverbs in a little bit. Jesus deals with it back in Mark. You don't have to turn it. Well, you can write it down if you want. Mark chapter 7, verse 15. And they're getting in an argument with the Pharisees. It says, chapter 1 says, and the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered together around him when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is unwashed. Later on it says in verse 5, and the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he said to them, rightly did the Isaiah prophesy of the hypocrisy, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but with their heart is far from us. And then later on in verse 15, he says, well, let me read 15 through, I think it's 18, I don't know. After this, he called the multitude again, and he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man. And if any man hears, has ears to hear, let him hear. And when leaving the multitude, he entered the house, and his disciples questioned him about this parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking understanding? Do you not understand that whatever goes into a man from outside cannot defile him, but it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then it's eliminated. And he was saying, what proceeds out of the man is what defiles him. That's what James is talking about in chapter 3. This is about our tongue, what comes out of us, what we say, how we treat people. And then I just wrote myself two questions. And I wrote it for me, but it kind of applies to us all. In the course of my life, do I have any words that I wish I had never said? You know, 62 years, do I have any words that I wish I would never said? Hopefully I'm not the only person in the room that thinks in my head, of course. I have said stuff to my kids and to my wife and to my friends that I wish I would have never said. So this is not an easy section. Have I ever used words as weapons? This is kind of an aside issue, but when I was in China, I met with this Bruce Anderson, and a guy, he was a kid, he was in my youth group growing up, and now works for IBM, and travels all over the world, and he's there with his daughter, and I was talking to him, and his daughter and his wife were there, and his daughter said, well, you know my aunt, Chris, don't you? And all of a sudden, it was like a knife in my heart, because I remember we were playing volleyball at church, and this was before I was saved, and I was like, athletics meant a lot to me, and winning really was at all cost. It didn't matter. And I remember she did something, and I remember screaming at her and yelling how bad she was. And she was not a jock. And all I remember is her starting to cry and walked off the court. And I said to this little girl in China, I said, tell your aunt I was sorry. Because I still remember. And it just struck me at that time. And I was like, I couldn't pull those words back. And I don't think I ever said I was sorry. So when we read this, and when we read it, think of James writing this, because he says some things in here that are like, kind of reveal that for him, this wasn't all that easy either. Let me read it. We're going to just look at 1 through 12. So James writes, and these are like the worst two verses in the Bible for teachers, the first two. But let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they must obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire and a very word of iniquity, and the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of evil poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. And from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brethren, these ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. What's interesting at the end of this, he doesn't really give you an answer. He doesn't really say, so this is don't do that. It's almost like as he goes through this, he's thinking of words that he might have wanted to take back. It's just interesting that this must be a problem, and what James is saying is it shouldn't be this way. And think about what our tongue does and doesn't do. Let's just look at the first two verses. And when he talks about teachers, in context, and it still happens in Israel, that people get rabbis. People get a rabbi, and they climb onto that rabbi and they follow him and listen to his teachings. And this guy became so important that when a rabbi would say a rabbi was in trouble and your mother was in trouble, you'd help the rabbi first. That's how important it was. And that's kind of the context that James is writing. And I mean, I think it's still important. And it doesn't matter, like, if you're standing up here or if Kelly's in there teaching kids. They used to kind of drive me nuts when in seminary when they would say, well, you know, the women can teach the kids. And I'm like, but they can't teach adults. I'm like, you do early childhood education, and the most influence that is had in this room is sitting back there with those little kids and what they're hearing and what they're feeling about church. Really, I mean, and the songs we sing, you'll probably forget these words, my words, but the songs you might walk out of here with, and that's another aside, but it doesn't matter whether you're teaching here or, I mean, in context, it's in the church, and but I think people that are teachers. Diane and I were talking about this the other day, where, you know, have an influence over people, and, you know, you think about guys like Ravi Zacharias and all these. Think of the influence you teachers have over those kids and what they're and our own kids, their view of God, and the words we say. So James is saying, you know, don't jump into this teaching thing like it's no big deal because there's a stricter judgment. I don't know what that is. I don't know how that is. All I know is that it's a little scary. But then he says, for we all stumble in many ways. He's talking about himself. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. He's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body as well. I got to think that was a little bit, not cynical, that's not the right word. But he said, if you can control your tongue, you can control everything. And you're perfect. When he says we all stumble in many ways, I started thinking, I will, in the course of, I don't know how long we've been here, but, because like 7 or 8 years, right? I probably will say or have said some dumb things. Some things that may have hurt people. You know, I think that's part of the my brother-in-law writes out his entire sermon. That's probably good, so you don't say some dumb things. But if I have said something dumb that has hurt somebody, we all stumble in many ways. So I think James is being so realistic. It's another thing Gary Enrig said in his, when he talked about this. He said, don't just trust what I say. I mean, really, you need to test what I say by this word. You know, I could misinterpret something. And I think it's important to trust a preacher, but you better also test them and look at what the Bible really says, not what Bob says. Because I could stumble. Anyway, that's what I think James is in those first two verses. And then he says, if you have never said anything hurtful, you are perfect. You can control everything. And I don't want a show of hands, but I'm thinking that there's not a person here that has never said anything hurtful. And I think James is just saying, think about the words that come out of our mouth. And it isn't to be, you know, slamming us and making us feel guilty. He's just being realistic. There are times we got to think, and not times, we have to think about what our tongue, what we say. There's this whole idea of, you know, the tongue really doesn't do anything, right? I mean, it's controlled by your heart and your head. And that, when you get into the whole theological thing about this, that's when Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Well, you know, your eye and your hand are connected to your heart and your head. So what James and all, when he says, when he's dealing with the tongue, Yui, here, he's saying, this really reveals your heart and who you are. So think about it. Verses 3 and 4. And it's really pretty easy. The tongue is disproportionately powerful compared to its size. Think about how little the tongue is. And that's what he's saying. That's what he says. Think about a bit we put in a horse's mouth. It's really little. I mean, horses scare me, so I don't, you know. They put this little thing in its mouth, and you yank on that horse will stop. When we were up in Canada, we saw one of the big, have you ever been on a cruise ship? How many of you have been on a cruise? They're big. Yeah, I mean, these things are gigantic. And think of the little thing at the back of it that just turns that ship wherever the pilot wants it to go. And that's what James wants us to understand. Your tongue is small. It's not that big of a thing. And it is disproportionately powerful. It can either build up or it can tear down. And that's what he says in verse 5. So also the tongue, just like the rudder or a bit in a horse's mouth, is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, what a great forest is set aflame by such a small fire. What I think he's saying is it can either boast of great things, it can do unbelievable things. And we're going to, I gave out some verses in some Psalms. I don't know, who's got John? And we're just going to read some verses and some Proverbs that sound just nice, okay? Who's got the Proverbs? Let's read the Proverbs first. There's if you look in a concordance, there's about, I don't know, 15 or 20 Proverbs about the tongue, okay? Tony, you got them?
Proverbs 15:4. All the days of the afflicted. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit.
It's the tree of life. Our tongue could be the tree of life, but it can tear the spirit. It can break the spirit. Did you have one, Janice? Did you?
No.
You got another one, Tony?
18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did I give out any other proverb? John?
18:19. There is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword.
tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment.
A truthful tongue lasts forever. Just watch the news. If they would have just told the truth. I'll bet you there's some people there that would love to have some words back. And then these are just verses in John chapter 14, 1 and 27. Did I give you both those? Yeah.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
These are just words. I mean, think of sitting there with the Messiah, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. What could he have said? You idiots. You're going to run. Don't be troubled. Who's got 15? John 15, 11. This verse was in my confirmation. This was written in my confirmation thing when I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church.
John chapter 15, verse 11. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete.
I mean, when I look back at that, I don't know how I found it, my old confirmation thing, but when I found that and I looked at that verse and I was like, wow. Who's got John 16:33?
These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world.
I mean, think of them as, the disciples had to run back to these words. And thought, wow, it can boast of great things. There was a, and I've got two of my stories. We took a customer service thing at Baylor one time, and you broke up into groups of like, I don't know, 20 people, and then each of that 20 people, you'd have a table of four or five. And there was an assignment one time where you just took a 3x5 card and wrote something. This was after about 4 weeks of meeting together. And you would write something nice about the person. I mean, you don't put your name on it. And you'd hand them to the person. They'd shuffle them and give them to the, so you'd read your own card. And all of a sudden you start reading the card and you're like, you're reading stuff about yourself. And you're like, and after it was over, people would go, how'd that feel? That was the point of it. How did it feel? And you're just like, wow. I mean, you felt kind of humbled, but it was just nice. I felt good. this was years ago, probably 10 years ago, I don't know. There was a guy, Mike Lundy, he was one of the top handball players at the Y. He worked at for Baptist convention, and so we got into, I got into the court, and I'm with him, I was his teammate, and these two other, like, top A players that won all kinds of tournaments, and I'm like, I said to Mike, I said, I don't really need to be in here. He goes, you're going to play the left, which is the hard side. In some ways, it's the hard side, because everybody shoots to the guy on the left. And then he said, you can do this. You can do this. And I'm thinking, I am in the wrong place. You know, we killed them. Literally. I mean, I know it's not literally. And this is kind of a crude story. But the one guy got kicked out of the Y because he used to swear all the time. Well, he is swearing and yelling, and Mike's quiet. I really would ever say a word. He just looks at me and smiles, and we're beating them bad. The guy, after the first game, he says, oh, He had to go buy a new jock because he said it broke, and that's why they lost. He blamed it on his underwear. And I'm like, the next game, it was worse. We beat him worse. He had a brand new one, and we beat him worse. It was so much fun. But I just I'll never forget that game. Was that a crude joke to tell here? I'm sorry, but it was true. I mean, the guy had to play. It wasn't that we were. And I just think when he said to me, "You can do this," words can boast and build you up. And why don't we do it more? And then when he says, "Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." I mean, there's that positive thing. You can have this positive, but the tongue is a fire and the very word of iniquity. There's the downside of it. There's the bad side of it. Think of what it can do, how it spreads, and it's a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as such that defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. This is another thing at the Y. If you're in the Y in Dallas and you're swearing in the locker room, they will come. They kick people out. They will take away your Y membership. Well, I was up in Chicago a few years ago in the Y, and I'm hearing bad language. And there's kids. And I thought, at the Y, they'll come up to you and say, "You need to be quiet. There's kids here." Chicago is like, the F word was like the end of every sentence. And it's like, oh, you're like, stop. It was the contrast to me was just striking. And that's what James is saying. Think of the fire it can start. Think of, and growing up in that, I'm telling you that it's a battle for me when I'm driving and I'm whispering those words in my head. And James says, you praise God and then curse the driver on I-30 that I created. There's not a person in this room that can read James in this section and go, But I really think James is trying to, in verse 6, it's capable, the tongue is capable of massive destruction. It sets on fire the course of our life. The not positive comment, and I think I said this to somebody the other day, when I'm hearing about Kelly's lady taking tests and stuff like that, this was 1969, September of 1969, and they get all of the freshmen in the room, in the assembly hall at the University of Illinois. So there's 15 or 20,000 people. And, maybe not that many. How many are there? I don't know. There was a lot. And they say, look at the person on either side of you. They're going to be gone in 2 months. And everybody's thinking, well, it ain't going to be me, And then I remember going to this counselor. They assign you a counselor. And this lady, she said, "What would you like to do?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking of going out for football and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to join a fraternity." And it had nothing to do with school. But she looked at me and said, and I still remember these words, "You have about a 20% chance of making it here." I walked out of there like, don't take that. I might as well go to the bars. I mean, that's what I thought. Why even try? She didn't, the problem was, first semester I was on probation. I did. I mean, and then I thought to myself, I got to prove her wrong. Anyway, but that was in, how many years ago was that? 69. A lot. It was a lot. It was 40-some years ago, and I still remember it. And there's this, when you think through this, if there's a whole thing like with teachers and coaches, and you know, coaches can say stuff to guys that just, it's amazing what they get away with. And but I read something one time that said when a kid knows the coach is behind him, you can say the hard things. It's not that you always have to sugarcoat everything, but when they know you're behind them and you want them to succeed, our words can set the course of a life. And I just, you know, I went to see Cooper's football game. This is Super Bowl. The guy charges you $2 to get in, and I said, this is the cheapest Super Bowl I've ever been to. And I mean, these kids are like, what are they, 8 and 9, right? It was really kind of, but Grandma and Grandpa were there, and Drew was there. What does that say, you know, building into his life? Anyway, verses 7 and 8, James writes, well, we can, every species of beasts of the, and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. You ever been to SeaWorld? You know, crazy whales do. Anyway. But look at verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Do you think James might have been, you think he had trouble with his tongue? And what when I read that, and I in one of the sermons I was listening to, Gary Enrich says, so it takes the grace of God. You think you can tame it? Leave. Like my dad said, before your mouth is in gear, make sure your mind, make sure your mind is in gear before your mouth is in motion. Think about what you're saying. Let God's grace come out of our mouth. I keep thinking, you know, we stopped listening to James Dobson because, you know, he made us feel too guilty. It's like, never yell. You always have to just rationally sit down with your kid and say, now, why did you break that window? Did it make you, you know, and I'm like, and I just, and I, again, I remember the morning, we were headed to Geiger Island, and one of my sons was supposed to sleep all night. Well, he didn't sleep all night. He was up playing, and I woke up, and he was still up, and I lost it. You know, and it was probably a couple years ago that I had to apologize to him. That's, you know, years later. So I'm not, just like James, I mean, we all stumble. But think, James is just saying, think about your tongue. 9 through 12, does the fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, brethren, produce olives? And he's just saying, blessing or cursing, think about it. Choose blessing. Choose satisfying words, encouraging words. And we had a friend, we haven't talked to him in a long time. I'll turn it off.